So welcome back. This is Chris, and you are listening to the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus in on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful, and I interview experts and multimillionaires in key areas in business to help you expand your entrepreneur business and grow as an entrepreneur and have a blast doing it. And today I'm really excited to invite a guest that I actually met at a conference a couple years ago. His name is Mr. Dan Safko. He is a 20-year marketing veteran who helps entrepreneurs build their businesses with online marketing strategies that work. Dan is the creator of the Video Marketing Minute, where he blogs about video marketing tips. You can find that out at videomarketingminute.com, and also through his popular YouTube channel, where he teaches you how to make the most of your video with incredible tips, advice, and strategies to help you explode your business using video. He's also a contributor at the marketingonline.com company and has coached hundreds of entrepreneurs on how to effectively use video to rapidly increase their business exposure and to really finally have fun with video. So I'm so excited. I welcome Dan to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Excellent. Great to have you here. So I'd love to just kind of pick your brain first to start on what got you solely focused into the video marketing space.
Well, a couple of things. I reluctantly went into it. I have a mentor, as you know, Alex Mondozian, who I was a vendor for. I was creating preloaded MP3 players and iPods for him. I started doing a little bit of video editing just as a just as a helper. He was shooting video, but he didn't know how to edit it. I figured out how to edit it with iMovie, which is a simple application in the Mac. And then he challenged me to start doing my own videos. And it was a challenge because I really didn't want to step in front of the camera. But when Alex gives me a challenge, I usually accept it because he wants more for his students than they want for themselves sometimes. And as I started getting more comfortable and actually putting out really good content, then he invited me to teach it at the Ultimate Internet Boot Camps. And so I had that great gift of having a mentor to kind of pull me through the process. And at the same time, my son, who at the time was 10 years old, started creating videos. So he actually had his first video on YouTube before I did. Long story short, it went viral. He's got over 500,000 views on it, and he actually gets checks from the YouTube Partner Program, which is how they share advertising revenue, and seeing him do that and do it effortlessly because he didn't have any preconceived notions about being insecure on camera or generating content. So he just did it, and watching him just have that attitude of just doing it was really an inspiration to me as well.
That's outstanding. Oh, I love that. I forgot about that story, actually. That's so cool. So now with because you brought up a lot of good points in there. I mean, myself, as well as I know a lot of people, we get, you know, scared about video or conscious or you know, worried about what people are going to think. So what do you kind of teach your students of how to overcome that and just to get out there like your son did and what you've done?
Well, it's a cliche to say just do it, but it absolutely works for video because there's a part of your brain that resists appearing on camera. People are just naturally camera shy because they'll pick themselves apart like no one else will. They might not like exactly how they appear on camera, and usually that's more of a lighting issue than anything else, or they might not like the sound of their own voice, or so they'll be hypercritical of themselves. And people who are watching the videos, they don't really care about their stuff. They're just watching to make a connection or to learn something. So if we can remove that negative self-talk, that's half the battle, and just let ourselves get used to seeing ourselves on camera. What I found is that I had all those voices in my head, and it actually took me about 4 hours to make my first two-minute video because I wanted it to be perfect. I was acting as if I needed to be like a broadcaster, and we're just kind of malconditioned. We grew up in the television generation, so we're used to looking at broadcasters and actors and them doing it perfectly and then thinking, well, we got to do it perfectly because when people appear on film or on video, they do it perfectly. Well, fortunately for us, that's not true. That in the YouTube medium or generation, we don't have to be perfect. In fact, if you're not perfect, that just an indication that you're more authentic and you're likely to connect easier and better with your prospects. So the way to overcome it is to do more videos, because like I did that first time, you'll probably practice perfection. You won't like what you see, but finish it, publish it anyway, even if it feels uncomfortable. Then the second video, you'll feel uncomfortable less. And then the third video, even less. And by the time you get to 8 or 10 videos, you stop thinking about that, because that part of your brain that was resisting it has accepted the fact that you're going to keep going, because at every step it wants, it's telling you to stop. This isn't you. This isn't natural. Who are you to put yourself out there as an expert? But that voice gets quieter until it goes away. But unfortunately, most people quit before that voice goes away. They'll quit after 1 or 2 or 3 videos and say, oh, this isn't for me, or they succumb to that voice that says, who are you trying to be? And they don't power through that. So if you are going to try video, make a commitment to try to publish at least 8 or 10 videos, even if you're not happy with them, and you'll find that that voice stops talking to you.
Yeah, that's amazing advice. I love it. That's great. So what about, you know, when someone's just getting started with their business, because that is a big, you know, concern for a lot of people, where they don't feel they're the expert when they really are, because you're always an expert to somebody at some point, you know, some person in the world. And that's what's great with YouTube, is it reaches so many people. What do you suggest for them to do for those 8 to 10 first videos to get started?
Simply answer frequently asked questions. And I went through that in the beginning. I'm like, I know there's people who know more about internet marketing or more about video marketing than I do. So why do they need the information from me? Well, I had a friend answer that question for me, and they said, because they need you to share what may be the same information in your own unique way, because there are an unlimited amount of teachers in every niche. So how are they all successful if there's one who knows more than the rest? Well, we attach ourselves, or we're drawn towards people with different teaching styles. So even though you may not know the most or be even the best presenter in your niche, your style will connect with people unlike other people's style. So that's just another voice in your head that's trying to give you a reason not to do it. So overcome that voice, put it out there, and let the market decide if they're going to connect with you or not. So if you don't even put content out there, you're not giving people a choice to consume your content. So how to get started is just pick 8 or 10 frequently asked questions in your niche, and you that can be a combination of questions that you know and that you feel comfortable answering, but also just put FAQ in your keywords, or frequently asked questions in your keywords, into Google. See what other questions people are answering in your niche. Don't steal the answers, just steal the questions, and then answer those questions with your own unique answer. Your answer may be completely different than the answer that's on that same page, but you're just borrowing the question, and that's the easiest way to generate video content, because with one question and one answer, it's probably just a 2 or 3 minute video. In fact, that's my recommendation, that it only be a 2 or 3 minute video, and always end it with a call to action that says something like, you know, for more information or more answers about video marketing, please visit my website. So the purpose of most video, at least on YouTube, is just to tease them, just to introduce people to your style, to your knowledge, and then drive them back to your website. So the easiest content generation method is simply to ask questions, or to pose questions that are being asked, and present your unique answer.
Oh, I love it. It keeps it simple. And I love the point that you talk about, like, 1 to 2 minute videos, because especially today, our attention span is so crazy short. And the shorter videos, that makes it easier for you to get the content out there, but it'll probably be better consumed. So with what you're talking about when you say with keyword targeting and such, should people do a lot with how-tos in their video titles, or what are the best titles that you've used that have gotten you a ton of views for your videos?
Yeah, we want to think like Google, or at least how people use Google. So imagine somebody enters a question. I always use this example because I've got a friend who's a beekeeper. So a frequently asked question for a beekeeper might be how to smoke bees. So that question may be confusing to somebody who's not in beekeeping, but it's a common question for a new beekeeper, and it's something that they might want to enter into Google. And Google should be the starting point for everything. So how does Google work? How can I drive people to my videos using Google? So using the Google tool to find out what people are asking the most, then answer those questions, and then put that exact question as the title of your video. And you title it two ways, both in the video, you're going to lead with that question, and then when you write the video description on YouTube, when you put the title, description, and tags, you're going to repeat that question. So imagine that we use that example, how to smoke bees. So the title of your YouTube video should be how to smoke bees, and then you'll want to add some other keywords, extend the title, because I think you get 120 characters when you write a title in YouTube. So you might want to add how to smoke bees from a beekeeping expert to give your title more emphasis. And then when you shoot the video, lead with that question. So you're looking in the camera, and instead of introducing yourself right at the beginning, which most people do, repeat the question to let the viewer know that they've come to the right place. So you look in the camera, and you'll say, are you looking for a simple solution for how to smoke bees? Or you might say, are you new to beekeeping, and you're wondering what the best method is for smoking bees? Hi, I'm Dan Safko. My website is beekeeping.com. And so then you put your introduction in the second position, and then you answer the question, and then you close what they call to action. So for more beekeeping information, please visit my website at. And the reason I structure it that way is because you only have about 5 seconds to get their attention. As you mentioned, we have a very short attention span. So as soon as they click on that video, we want to let them know that they've come to the right place, that you have the answer that they're seeking. So leave your introduction. They don't care who you are, at least in the beginning. They only care that you have the answer. So have your opening statement match whatever you think they searched for in Google. And then they're going to stay on your video for the answer. Sneak your introduction into the second position, and then in the third position, answer their question, and then always close with a call to action. And once you get proficient at that, you can finish a video like that in 90 seconds to 2 minutes. And always just answer one question per video, because that allows you to create more videos. I've seen people answer 4 or 5 questions in a single video. Well, they've denied themselves the opportunity for SEO or search engine optimization, because they can only fit so many keywords in the title. You want each question and answer to be its own video, so you can get those keywords in the title, and that's what Google values most. They want to see what's in the title, and that's how they determine if your video is going to rank or not.
Oh, that is amazing advice. I love that, switching the what we're traditionally trained to do, say our name first, what we do, and then go into the subject matter to switch it. Because it is so true, especially when you click on a YouTube video, like that first 5 seconds is when I determine if I'm going to watch that person or not. So that's awesome advice. Perfect. I need to go back and edit some things. But I love it. That's great. So now, okay, so we've got the title, you've got the video, you've uploaded it into YouTube. Now what else? What are some of the tidbits and key tips to help people optimize their videos?
Well, as I mentioned, always think about, okay, how might Google read this or find this? So you also want to optimize your description and your tags. And if you're on YouTube, it looks like this. You've got the title above the video, then you've got the video, then you've got the description below the video, then you've got the tags below the description. And it's just like a blog post when you have title, descriptions, and tags. So when you're writing your description, you want to put a link to your website in the very first position, and you want to make sure that link starts with HTTP, otherwise it won't be an active link. The reason that you want to do that is there's a little drop-down arrow that appears there that YouTube actually only shows the first line of your description, and then you have to click the arrow to get the full description. Most people will never click that arrow. So if you put a link in your description and maybe you put it at the end, people won't see your link because they're not going to click on that dropdown. So always front load your description with that link. That way, if they like your video, it doesn't occur to them to hit that dropdown and they want more information, they'll click on that link. And if they see the link, you'll just have exponentially more clicks on it by using that strategy. Then follow it with your description and think of the description as a mini article. So you want to ethically stuff it with your keywords. So I'll do two or three paragraphs about the subject matter, and that those paragraphs very closely align with my actual script for that video. So it's got lots of keywords in there. Then I always follow that with like a bio paragraph. Dan Safko is a video marketing strategist who teaches at seminars, blah, blah, blah. And that's just more great keyword fodder. And also it helps people get to know you and establishes your expertise. And then I put the link again at the end of that paragraph. So the link to my blog will appear in the very first position. It will appear probably in the very last position as well. So you get, I think, up to 5,000 characters in that description. So that can be a pretty lengthy article. I just don't have time to write 5,000 characters. So usually my description is only a couple of paragraphs long. But I try to repeat my keyword phrases, my primary keyword phrase, like if I'm using that example again, how to smoke bees. For beekeepers, I might try to use that phrase at least every paragraph or every other paragraph or a variation of that phrase. So when Google indexes that, they pick up all those great keywords. And then, of course, in the tags, I repeat the keywords there. And it's important in the tags that you use phrases, not just single words, because single words are too competitive. If I just put beekeeping as a tag or beekeepers or smoke, I can't rank for single words. There's thousands of videos that already tag those words. So I want to use what are called long tail keyword phrases. And so I'll repeat my question again, how to smoke bees. And I'll put that in quotation marks so Google and YouTube knows it's a phrase as opposed to a single word. I may do a couple of variations of that too. Trying to think again how people might find that information in Google. So another phrase might be beekeeping tips for beginners. I'll add that as a phrase, again, using quotation marks around it. And then once I do a couple of those, then I'll re-examine my description and say, okay, these are really good phrases that I just came up with. Can I blend them into the description as well? So I might rewrite the description a little bit so I get the phrases in both the tags and the description, and then Google and YouTube will give more weight to those descriptions or those phrases if they see that you're repeating them. A lot of people fall down on this. They completely race through the description and tags and mainly put one or two words. For a lot of people, it doesn't occur to them to add their link in the description, but that's how Google indexes, that's how Google reads your content, and that's how they rank it. So if you're not giving them lots of fodder to index, then you're not going to see any ranking from them.
Oh, great. Now, is it too much to overload it, though? I mean, is there a point where you're just putting too much in there and it doesn't help it at all?
Well, yeah, you can do things that looks like you're trying to rig the system. Like if every video has the same tags, every video has the same description, then YouTube could flag your account or even take down your account. When it comes to tagging, always mix them up. Don't use the same phrase or the same set of words 10 or 12 times. When I'm doing tagging, I try not to repeat, even if I'm using a phrase, I try not to repeat the same word more than two or three times. Like I would put in the example that I shared, I might use phrases that contain beekeeping two or three times, but no more than that. Or I might mix it up. I might, if I do use it more than two or three times, I might do beekeeping as one word in two of the phrases, and bee space keeping as one in a couple of phrases. Then in my next video, I'll use completely different phrases. So if YouTube thinks you're trying to game the system, they do have the option of shutting down your account. So always be authentic. Don't put keywords in there that have nothing to do with the video. Don't put Kim Kardashian in your description just because you are hoping to get some traffic from that. So, you know, as long as you're being authentic and you're being contextual, you'll be fine.
Okay, excellent. That's outstanding advice. Thank you so much. That's like a whole, you know, huge lesson in itself there.
I know.
That
I get
all
excited
to learn.
Yeah,
I love it.
Fast,
I appreciate it.
For anybody who's listening right now, you might want to listen to it again, and if you have the ability to slow it down and take some notes, I apologize if I race through that.
No, it's great. We love it. We love awesome content, so thank you so much. So I guess my next question then is, what are the mistakes you see most people making on YouTube that people could probably prevent by just a little education?
Yeah, I would say the biggest mistake is lighting, and it's also a reason that people will stop doing it is because they don't like how they look on camera. And lighting is a tricky thing because if you just rely on the natural light in your home or office, it's really bad for video. So imagine the office environment. You usually have fluorescent lighting overhead, and that does two things. It turns your skin a funny, funny color. But also, by having the lighting overhead, you're going to end up with dark circles in your eyes, under your eyes, under your chin, and it's going to be very unflattering. Whereas if you're in your home, you've got a different set of challenges. If you're using light that comes from lampshades, it may turn your skin a funny yellow, or it may be too dim. There may be not enough light behind you and you look like you're in a cave, or there may be too much light behind you because there's an open window and it's overexposed and you look dark. So what I did, I just went onto YouTube and started looking at lighting tutorials, and that's how I learned how to do it. I bought my first lighting kit was actually those shop lamps that you get at Home Depot that have those tin domes on it. So if you get a couple of those, you get daylight fluorescent bulbs. It's very important to get daylight because it puts out natural light, and it's very important that you get fluorescent because they won't burn hot. So do you know what I'm talking about, those half-dome clamp lights that you see at Home Depot? So use that because you can clamp them anywhere, so you have a lot of versatility when you're ready to shoot a video. Just bring those out and clamp them to something that's 6 to 10 feet in front of you so it throws a little bit of light. And here's the secret sauce. To get a nice filter, a nice diffused effect, simply wrap them in the plastic bags that you get at the grocery store. The white plastic bags make great diffusers for the natural fluorescent bulbs because if you just rely on those tin domes and your bulbs, it'll be throwing too much bright light. So wrap them in those. So next time you're at the grocery store, ask for plastic, not paper. So you get two of those bags, wrap the tin domes, and because the light bulbs are fluorescent, they won't burn hot. And then just experiment with positioning them, usually one behind wherever your camera is and one a little bit off to the side until you feel like you've got really good results. And it took me a couple of videos or a couple of sessions to really figure out that perfect space in my home that looked good both from a background standpoint and where to position those lights. What you want to do is really get all the creases and shadows out of your face, and then you'll look your youthful self. Because sometimes if we don't do that and we get shadows, we think we look older than we are, and that's not actually how we look, but that is how we look on camera for those 2 minutes. So you want to look your best, and you want to feel good about what you're doing. And if you do, you'll do more videos. If you look at yourself and say, "Oh my God, I look so old," then you're probably gonna stop doing videos. So you want to optimize yourself with lighting, get those shadows out of your eyes and out from underneath your chin. And also be aware of your background. I see a lot of people that that stand up against the wall or have their chair against the wall. There's no distance between them and their wall, and they look like they're in a really tight space. So I like to create a distance between me and whatever's behind me, and sometimes I even like to put myself on an angle relative to the wall that creates more depth and just makes for a more interesting shot. So many people who stand against the wall when they do their videos kind of look like they're in a police lineup. and sometimes you might even want to throw a light. I sometimes put a light on the floor behind me and the wall, and if you get a little light behind there, it creates more depth and illuminates, you know, a picture or a bookcase or something that might be behind your wall, and just makes for a more interesting shot.
Oh, that's amazing. How simple. That's great. Yeah, because lighting is one thing I know I've completely struggled with. Like, I'll get it, you know, getting over the hump to get out there online and getting yourself out there, then it's like, oh, wait, now what do I do with this lighting stuff? Because it definitely does make a huge difference. So that's outstanding. Excellent. Now, with the videos and everything that you've created through using YouTube marketing, where do you typically drive the viewers then for your videos? Are there better places to send people to, or what have you found has been the most successful for you?
Well, there's two types of videos. There's on-page and off-page, and by on-page I mean on your website. And off-page could be somewhere else that hopefully you're driving to your website, and that YouTube, of course, is the best example of that. And there's actually a third option. Every video, or if you're doing a video series, or if you do videos on a regular basis, you can also broadcast those to iTunes as a video podcast. And that's relatively simple to do. I use a tool called Podomatic.com, and it's free. And it will automatically publish your videos to iTunes. And iTunes will open up a whole new market for you. As a podcaster, I'm sure you appreciate the value of iTunes. People find you there that wouldn't find you otherwise. So Podomatic is a simple tool. It kind of looks like YouTube. So you simply upload your video, add title tags and description, and it will publish to iTunes. So, of course, I highly recommend YouTube because nowadays Google loves seeding videos in the first 5 results for any search term. So you definitely want to be on YouTube with all of your videos because, you know, if you do it right, you might end up on page 1 of Google. And you can land there without doing the SEO. You know, traditionally it costs you thousands of dollars or hundreds of hours of learning SEO to get something to rank on the first page of Google. But with YouTube, that's kind of like you get to leapfrog all those people that made that investment because Google will grab a couple of videos from YouTube and just feed them in the first 5 results. And even a fourth ranking on the first page of Google is an effective number 1 ranking because when people have the choice between just a text link in the number 1 position and a video link where they see that little video thumbnail, they're more likely to click on that thumbnail. It's just something about, you know, people are compelled to click on images as opposed to links. So if you can get even in the top 5 results with your video on page 1 of Google, you have an effective number 1 ranking, and you've just leapfrogged all the people who know a lot more about you, a lot more about SEO than you do. And then on page, of course, you can use the videos as training materials if you have a membership site or a premium product. Video is a great way to teach, but it's also a great way to increase conversion. And by conversion, we mean that the visitor takes whatever the desired action is. So if you want them to buy something, if you want them to enter an email address, whatever that action is, put a video next to it instead of just simple text and tell them what to do. So on my page, I've got a free report offer. Right above the report offer is I physically in the video point downwards and say right below is where you can enter your email address, and if you do, I'll send you a free report that, you know, is a $49 value. And I find that by putting videos wherever I have a call to action, that more people will take action.
Yeah, definitely. That's Absolutely. That's so key, because a lot of times I see that where people don't even tell people where to go, and unfortunately we're just trained to do what we're told to do. So you definitely want to have that in there to make it very simple. So that's outstanding. Now, so what other tips or advice do you have for someone either, well, first with the new beginner, for the new person getting online with video marketing, do you have any other additional tips and advice for them?
Yeah, I sure do. I think the next big thing, or the thing that all people can use to get comfortable with the medium, is Google Plus Hangouts. Google Plus is an alternative to Facebook as a social networking site. And I know what people are thinking, yeah, I need another social networking site because I have so many extra hours in my day. But Google Plus is worth it because of Hangouts. Hangouts is video chat technology that allows you and up to 9 people to participate in what's called a Hangout. So you're talking back and forth, or it could be a one-to-many scenario where you're teaching something. And it's very informal. So, you know, when we create what I call our talking head videos, you know, we're trying to be like a broadcaster. That's a little more formal, and we feel like we have to be a little more professional and spot on. But in a Google Plus Hangout, it's just a conversation. So you're dialoguing with people, so it's very natural, and it's a great way to generate instant content and get your comfort level up with the medium. The cool thing about Hangouts is, in addition to the chat technology, and by the way, you can find chats going on, you know, in any particular topic, but if you choose the option within the Hangout tool that says on air, at the end of that recording or at the end of that live chat, it will publish direct to your YouTube account. So you don't have to download it to your computer, you don't, and then re-upload it to YouTube. It just publishes direct to YouTube. So it's a great way of creating instant content. So if you wanted to lead a conversation about beekeeping, you could simply schedule a Hangout, invite other people you know. They ask you questions. You have dialogues. You upload that to YouTube on a weekly basis. And then if you wanted to take it to the next level, you download it from YouTube. Inside your channel manager, there's actually a download as MP4 button. So you can download that, let's say it's a 30-minute show, download it to your computer, then put it in your video editor, and every time there's a new topic or a new question and answer, make that its own video. So I find that when I have a 30-minute show, I can usually chunk that down to 6 or 7 unique videos. And then I re-upload those to my video YouTube channel. And now out of that one 30-minute show, I now have the original broadcast and what I'll call 6 or 7 teaser clips. And each one of those teaser clips has its own unique title, description, and tags. Again, more Google food to drive more people to my videos. So Google Plus Hangouts is an up-and-coming trend. It's very informal. And also, you don't necessarily have to feel like you're an expert in your niche, because when you do the talking head videos, you do have to have some self-confidence that, okay, I'm okay with putting myself out there as an expert. With a Hangout, you don't have to claim you're an expert. All you're doing is leading a discussion, and that's a very different dynamic than positioning yourself as the expert. You can say, hey, I'm still learning beekeeping. I want to learn more from you guys. Will you participate in a Hangout? Let's talk about this topic. So as you're building your expertise, Hangouts is a great way to do that, simply by leading discussions. And if you lead the discussions, then you end up with a whole bunch of great video content.
Oh, that is awesome. Yeah, that was actually coming up. I knew I've heard about this, but that was an amazing explanation. So really you can – it's like it's stepping it up from what the forums are like, but it's putting it into the social network where you really get to engage. And that's great about being able to take those videos and put them into YouTube. So I love that, how you're teaching how to repurpose content as well, because all of these different – yeah, I mean, they're all distribution channels, you know, iTunes, YouTube, you know, Google, all the different places that we're in front of. So just repurpose that content, and you're doing the work once, but then you can just repurpose it and get the benefits of all the different marketplaces. So I love it. Now, with Google, so how you have that set up there when you go into those places, does that stay up there for people to anybody, like can people come in and back and look at those conversations, or is it present time you have to be in that group at that time?
When it's live, you have a couple of options. Like I said, you can click that on-air option, and that does a couple of things. Uh, it it opens up the broadcast so anybody can watch it, even if they're not on that particular chat. It also, because Google Plus is linked to your YouTube account, it also broadcasts live on your YouTube channel. So if anybody happens to be on your YouTube channel at that moment, they could watch your live broadcast there. But it also gives you the code that you can put anywhere, just like you can put a YouTube video anywhere. When you start that broadcast, it'll generate a unique code, and then you can cut and paste that code to a website. How we do that at Marketing Online, we have a regular show every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. So we start, we'll jump on a few minutes early, I'll get the code, and then I will put it on the page at marketingonline.com live, and it stars Alex Mondozian, and we take questions and answer those questions in real time. So that's a syndication model. So once you have that code, you could put that code on any number of websites. If you had partners or affiliates and you gave them the code, so imagine that your live broadcast could be on 2, 10, 100 different websites. And so you're allowing your partners and your affiliates to host that video as opposed to driving them all to your Google Plus account, which people who aren't on Google Plus, they'll resist that. People won't necessarily find your YouTube. People aren't looking for live video on YouTube, so that part of it's random. But by building a dedicated page like we have for our live broadcast, and we get people in the habit of coming back to that page every Friday at noon. So as Alex likes to say, we're not like Ted Turner. We have our own broadcast network, and if we wanted to start promoting other shows, which we probably will, we're going to, you know, learn about social media Wednesdays at 6, learn about video marketing Thursdays at 3. So you can imagine the potential of that, and it all begins as a Google Plus Hangouts. But by having access to that code, you can really do a lot of interesting things with it. And then, because you have that code, then it's up to you what you put around it. Now, on YouTube, there's nothing you can do with your videos other than the title, tag, and descriptions. But once that video is hosted on your own page, if you want to put a Buy Now button right under your video, if you want to put Facebook comments or a Twitter widget right under your video like we have, you can do that. So we'll take questions from people during the live show. We'll ask them to put a comment in our Facebook plugin below the video. So now we're getting comments in live real time, and then the benefit of using the Facebook and Twitter plugins and widgets is those will also automatically post on Facebook and Twitter, driving yet more eyeballs back to our live broadcast.
Oh, wow. How amazing is that? Thank you for sharing that. I knew that was a new development, but I really had no idea how cool and how interactive it is. That's pretty amazing, because people always love the live interaction, because today it seems like a lot of marketing is pretty static. It's just you watching it on the end, you know, the other end of the computer. So, and people want that. They really want connection, you know, that we're kind of going back to that. We're, you know, we always say content is king, but people are really looking for that connection again now. And if you can create that, just like you and Alex have created, people will follow you forever. So that's outstanding. I love it. Very cool.
And let me repeat that in case it was hard to visualize what I just described. If you go to marketingonline.com/live, you'll see a video player there, and that's just a rebroadcast of our last live show. But when we go live, in fact, we're recording this on a Friday. I've got another show in just 2 hours from now. When we go live, then that video will switch to the new live broadcast, and then you'll see how we structured the Twitter widget and the Facebook plugin to generate instant questions. And anybody listening to this can do this on their own page as well.
Oh, wow, I love it. Yeah, so that's fantastic. And the consistency part is really, really true, too, no matter what. Like I teach, you know, iTunes Marketplace, same with YouTube or wherever you're at, that consistency is really king, because people can know when to come back and plug into your show. So I love that. Outstanding. So now with the video that you, you've covered so much today. It's just amazing information. I mean, this really is the golden nuggets, and taking this information and just now taking action with it is the next key. So for a lot of people, I get questions with, you know, for me, the technical side on podcasting, but what about for camera and equipment for that technical piece for the video? Do you have tips and advice for cameras and that such stuff?
Yeah, keep it simple. You don't need anything terribly expensive or that requires too much technical know-how. I use my webcam whenever possible. That way the recorded video is already on my computer, so I don't have to transfer it from an external device. When I do use an external device now, I almost always use my iPhone. I used to use Kodak cameras, and I still like those, although Kodak got out of the manufacturing business. There's still products called ZI-10 and ZI-8 out there that if you do need an external camera, those are good cameras. However, I just like using my iPhone because the camera on the iPhone is as good as any pocket camera. Now I only have to carry one device instead of two, so I'm always ready if something spontaneously happens that I want to capture. And with the right adapter, you can plug in a microphone to an iPhone. You just plug it into the speaker port or your earbud port otherwise, and if you just go to Amazon.com and plug in iPhone adapter for microphone, you'll see what you need, and then you can plug any microphone in there, and now you've greatly improved your audio quality. And also I've purchased tripod adapters for the iPhone on Amazon.com so I can get a nice steady shot as well. But if you're just starting out, just simply use your webcam. Again, the lighting is the most important thing. But keep it simple in the beginning. If you do, you're more likely to keep going.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Keep it simple. Very, very true. Well, all of this advice is just amazing. So the last thing I just want to end with here before we close out the call is just any more advice you can do on our thought processes with video, because I know that is a big hurdle for a lot of people. And any other tips or advice you can help people? Because I know sometimes when I first started podcasting, I was like, well, is anybody listening to me? And in YouTube, you know, you see people watching, but, you know, it's that consistency, like you said, a lot of people get started, do a few videos, and they quit, and they're like, the gold's like right there, just maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 more videos down the road where you start to get that following. So if you could share any other tips or advice for that, I'd greatly appreciate it, because I think that's where a lot of people struggle.
Yeah, as human creatures, we all need a little bit of positive reinforcement. So when you do start shooting videos, share them via your Twitter and Facebook account. It was really hard for me in the beginning. At that time, I don't think I could separate people into groups on Facebook. So when I put a video out there, I cringed for whatever reason. I cringed when I thought, with the thought of my friends and family seeing those videos. I wanted my prospects and marketing friends to see it, but I didn't. For whatever reason, I wanted to be judged by my family and friends, and I was. I got some feedback, you know, things like, "Oh, Dan, you're not smiling enough," and stuff like that. It was actually good feedback. I didn't necessarily want it, but I was able to use it. But they weren't my market.
Right.
But if you in Facebook, you can, if you have the same challenge, you can now separate people so only certain people see your post. And so if you put it out there, and don't just put it out there as content, but put it out there as, hey, you know, I'm just starting out. This is my first video. I welcome your feedback. And, you know, Facebook overall is a very supportive place, and people will give you good feedback. But, you know, be prepared for a little bit of constructive criticism, and that's good too. But more importantly, you'll get some positive reinforcement, and, you know, people will say, oh, I'm glad you're doing this, or, wow, you got a lot of courage for doing this. I could never do this. And you know, train them to start expecting your videos, and you'll be surprised at the results. So, you know, just do it. Be transparent as you're doing it. So it's okay to say, hey, this is my first time. I welcome your feedback. Go easy on me. You know, rather than practice perfectionism, put it out there, and or feel like you have to have it perfect before you can reveal it to people. Just say, I'm now committed to a video marketing strategy. So, you know, this is my first effort. I welcome your feedback. So just be transparent as you're delivering the content, and also be conversational, because if you start putting out those videos and your description in Facebook or Twitter simply says, here's my latest tip on, then they'll feel like you're just being promotional. But instead, you know, this is my latest tip on, you know, I really struggled in this one with getting the script right. You know, whatever you can do to be transparent in your presentation of it will allow people to identify with you as a person as opposed to just a marketer.
Yeah, so true. Being authentic and real, and people would love to see the screw-ups too, even if you're bumbling. I mean, obviously you want to, you know, try to at least have your idea of what you're talking about to get to the point for your audience, but being yourself is so key. I love that. Well,
also, Chris, let me share this with you. I don't know if you're – are you in my Facebook group, MyVideoMarketingCoach.com?
I don't think I'm in that one. I don't think I am yet.
Yeah, if anybody's listening to this and they want a – it's kind of a safe environment because it's a closed group, and the people in the group may publish their videos there first just to get a little bit of feedback from the group members. So if you're not ready to go – on all of Facebook, if you just want to publish it in a safe environment and get a little bit of feedback as you're getting your comfort level up, just type in My Video Marketing Coach into Facebook and ask to be, I think there's a button that says request an invitation or something. Then I'll see that and I'll let you in. And we, in addition to sharing our practice videos or pre-published videos with each other, we also share resources about cameras and about editing software and simple tips and tricks.
Oh, that's outstanding. Thank you so much for opening that up to us. That's an ingenious idea. I mean, it's so nice to have a group that's a safe haven where you can go to and be able to get tips and advice and not have to feel like you're just throwing yourself out there to the wolves, and you can have a supportive environment. That's outstanding. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's like having training wheels for your videos.
Exactly. I love it. Well, fantastic. Well, where can we find out more information about you?
I blog about video marketing at videomarketingminute.com, and I teach video marketing inside the members area at marketingonline.com.
Perfect. Well, Dan, thank you so much for providing so much killer content today and coming on the show. And again, thanks everyone for tuning in and listening. Again, this is Chris with the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. And through expert tips and interviews, we share tips and advice to help you explode your business as an entrepreneur. And if you want to find out more about Dan and his private Facebook group and all of the key tips and advice that he can share with you for video marketing, make sure you head over to chrisgilbertson.com. and check out the blog section with Dan Safko, and I'll have all of his information there for you as well for an easy access place to find out more information on him. So again, thanks so much, and everybody have a wonderful day.